Good morning. It's good to see all you guys here this morning. It's good to be back home and spend some time with everyone. But I was just so thankful for this opportunity I had to go on this mission trip, but also to come back and share with you guys while I was in Australia and Papua New Guinea for the past 5 or 5.5 months. I couldn't have done it without you guys, and I'm beyond thankful for everything that you guys did to help me in this. And when I was just praying about what to speak this morning, I just kind of felt to start with God's call and what he, kind of how it all started. So back in May, it was just, I wasn't sure what to do next. I was praying about, okay, God, am I supposed to go to college from here? Am I supposed to work for a while and figure out what I'm going to do or what? And just through a series of events that happened, just talking to my aunt and uncle who are in Australia, I just really felt strongly to do a DTS with YWAM Townsville in Australia. And it was kind of crazy. It was just like I had 7 weeks to get everything in order and raise all my finances and get ready to go on this trip. But God was so faithful in it all. And everything went without a hitch, and I was able to go to Australia. And so I'm going to just give some brief overview of some of the things that what it was like. So I was on this thing called a DTS, and it stands for Discipleship Training School. And it's broken up into two sections. And the first section is really growing in a relationship with God and learning how to share it with others. And then the second part of the DTS is sharing what you learned with others and really taking it out onto outreach. So this is the base where we were at. And it was basically just basically an entire block of the city that YWAM Townsville has. And we lived there and did our classes there, and basically everything happened there. And I was in a class of about 50 people, and we all were in this classroom-type setting on Monday through Fridays, and we would have different speakers come in, and like I actually had the opportunity, Jared Hoover, my uncle, and also Rebecca were both able to speak on my school. So that was super cool. We had lessons about like hearing God's voice, having like Clear Conscience Week, we had Lordship Week, Missions and Evangelism, the character and nature of God. It was just all this really good stuff that was about just really learning and going deeper with God and really growing our desire to want to share that with others and helping us to understand like how big of a part sharing it with others actually is. It was a lot of people that were on my team, they had been working through a lot of things in their lives, so it was just really cool, the healing and just the everything that we saw happen there. And it was such a growing time for me. Like during that time, probably one of the biggest things that I learned was really surrendering 100% to God. And it was just a really impactful time, and I learned so much. Like it was crazy how much I learned. During that time, I also made a lot of friends, and on weekends we would go volunteering. So like we saw the ship one time, and we had the opportunity to volunteer on there while it was in Australia, getting ready to go back into Papua New Guinea. And we also would go to volunteer for different things in the community to really help impact the community right where we were at as well. So it was also amazing to be able to spend some time with my cousins and my aunt and uncle, and also with Candy when she was back from Papua New Guinea. It was just really, like I never had been with, like especially with my aunt and uncle, like I hadn't been with them that long before. So it was just really great to get to know them better and really see more of what they do there. And it was really amazing to see the just the passion they have there and just how alive they are for Christ and just the impact that they're making there. And I also made, like I said, I made lots of friends. These are two of my best friends. They're Gabby and Jessica. And the friends that we make at DTS, they often get to be really, really good friends because of the things that you go through, the things you learn about, and just being away from like family, from like this family for so long. Like you definitely face struggles, and there's hard days, and these guys are there for you, and then you're also there for them when they're having their harder days. So, and this is just a picture of us on the weekends. I was able to hang out with some friends and go see some waterfalls while we were there. So between classes and volunteering, we also were able to have a lot of just free time to have some fun and get to know each other a little bit better. So that was roughly the beginning part of DTS. And then it goes into outreach, and our first outreach was in Australia. So I was on the team. It was the PAC and medical team, and PAC stands for Performing Arts and Celebration. And when I had signed up for the medical team, and they combined the two. So we ended up doing a lot of performing. We actually did dancing and singing, and they're like, YWAM Townsville's primary focus for outreach is Papua New Guinea. So we did a lot of PNG, like cultural dances and singing. And our leader is one of the leaders of PAC on that team. And they all really have a heart to see really culture redeemed for Christ. And like PNG has so much like rich cultural heritage. And it's something that really brings them together. And YWAM Townsville's heart for their PAC team is to really to help them know that like, okay, so like God's not just the God of our Sunday mornings, and God's not just the God of our Bible study times, but he's also like a God of our work and also of our celebration. And God cares so much about our celebration, and we can celebrate in a way that's honoring to him. And that's really their heart behind it. So it's just a really cool thing to be able to be part of. And yes, it was stepping out of my comfort zone to speak in front of people and dance and do some stuff. But we really had a ton of fun, and it was really fun learning about the culture and all of that before. We had our faces all painted up, and it was exciting. What I'm wearing today is kind of something, I don't know, it's similar to what you would wear in Papua New Guinea, something that's appropriate, and also lots of crazy colors and light for the weather. It's so hot there. But so that was then for the other part of our first outreach, we were also helping out with, we were volunteering with the Aboriginal community in Australia. And we were sharing testimonies with them, sharing with the kids. We were running kids programs and just really helping out where we could help. It was an Aboriginal pastors conference, so that was what we helped with a lot of the time on our first outreach. But probably one of the most impactful stories we had from first outreach was the story of Big Bird and Rob. So we had a free day coming up on outreach, and we were like, okay, God, like, do you want us to just relax and really get our breath for a little bit and just have a relaxing day, or is there something more you want us to do that day? And so our whole team prayed about it. I was on a team of 17 people, and we were just praying about it, and it all didn't come at once, but we were just praying, and we were like, some people felt to go to the city that was named Cairns, and then some people felt, okay, let's go at night, and some people felt, well, let's invite the homeless people. And some people were like, well, let's do a barbecue and just have food there for people. And some people were like, well, let's worship and stuff. But it all kind of came together. So the next night, we went to this city, and we were able to have a barbecue, and we just went out in groups, and we went and found homeless people off the street. And we just asked them if they wanted to come share a bite to eat with us. And then also, as we were able to like talk with them and spend some time with them, and as the opportunity presented itself to share the gospel with them. So we talked with these guys for about an hour and a half, and they had been living on a yacht for 15 years. And it just so happened that they were stuck in the city overnight because they were doing some repairs on their yacht. So it was just really crazy that they were even in the city, because normally they're out on the water, and that we had come there that night. So we started talking to them, and the one guy named Rob, he's the one that's sitting. My two friends were talking to him a lot about just about his faith and if like all this stuff, but it turns out he had a really hard past, actually. He had been abducted and held captive when he was a child, and then he had been abused, and then he had also, in order to get away, he had actually murdered his captor in order to get away, and because he was underage, he was able to get off fairly early, but he just had a really troubled past, and by the time, like, he was just really drawn to how genuine we were and how just how much it seemed like we cared about him. And he that night he actually accepted Christ as his savior, and it was super cool to see just the redeeming nature of it. And just like at the end, he was like, wow, like, I didn't even know I could be forgiven for stuff like this. I didn't even know like forgiveness was possible for me. Like, I didn't even know there was someone who cared about me that much. And he was just so thankful, and he kept like smiling, and he was crying, and it was just a super special thing to be able to be a part of. And it was also cool to see God's hand in it all the way from the night before when we started praying, and we felt to go there that night and do this thing and talk to these people. And it was just really cool how God worked it all together, and really we got to see that Happy ending that day. So second outreach then, we went to Papua New Guinea, and we had a lot of fun. We were all pretty excited to go. This was the first day we arrived in Papua New Guinea, and we were all in this van carrying all our stuff around, but we did a lot of things. So this is just some pictures of the markets there, and also just a road that we would drive down. So like sometimes the roads weren't super great, but we also, these were some kitchens. So the one time we were just cooking over open fire the entire week, and then the other week we had this little kitchen and we had like a little propane burner, and then we would often go to the gardens with them. And one time we went wallaby hunting, and we did a lot of crazy things. But this is where we slept one time. We often slept just out in the open, and with our mosquito nets and all that stuff. And it was an adventure, and some people take it differently. It was super fun though, and it was super cool to be able to be living right with the people. Like, there's people always around, and we were always talking with them and spending time with them. And some of the things that we did is we would give like talks on some of the things that we had learned during lecture phase ourselves. So that was pretty exciting. Sometimes you were like, okay, you have 20 minutes and you're going to be speaking in front of 700 little kids. And it was like, you had to figure out what you were going to say and how you're going to say it, if you're going to do a skit, if you're going to sing some songs or what. And then you're up there singing and dancing and just being crazy with the kids. And it was super fun though. And it definitely was a growing experience. But in the beginning of going to Papua New Guinea, actually, I was struggling a little bit. Like, I was doing all the right things, but I kind of felt like, I'm like, okay, I feel like I'm kind of going along with the motions here. Like, I don't really know where I fit in. I don't know. It's a new culture, like new experiences, new like just like spiritual warfare. It was crazy just being in a totally different place that I wasn't used to and just living differently. And so I was just feeling like, okay, God, like I don't really feel called here. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Like, wow, like how am I even supposed to be like here? But right after that, God's like, Rachel, you might not be called here long term, but like you're called here for right now, and I have something for you to do here. So it was after that I just kept praying about it and just working really hard to really find out, okay, God, like where can I make a difference here and where can I fit in here? And it turned out to just be even the little things. It was serving my team by helping make food for them and making meals for them. I was part of the kitchen crew, and so maybe it was making food for them, or maybe it was just talking with different people. And along the way, I'll have a picture of her later, but I made a really good friend, and her name was Vinau, and she really encouraged me along the path just as we were going. Like, there's definitely hard times. Like, there was definitely times where I'm like, wow, I miss my family. I miss some of the comforts of home. I miss my friends from back at base. And there was definitely struggles, and not being able to talk with those people from home as much was hard. But she was just always there for me, and she was always there praying for me and encouraging me along the way. And she just had a super great story. This is some of the kids that we worked with, and then some more. But she just really encouraged me along the way, and she just, one of her stories, like she kind of knows, like she's had white people come around before. Like, it was fun when we went to the villages, all the little kids would be like, Tina Pata, Tina Pata, and it means white girl. So it was just kind of, so people had seen white people before, but it definitely was a little bit not normal. But for her, like she had seen, like whether it was watching movies or seeing us, like she seen the way we lived. So, and like I was close with her and I felt comfortable to ask her. And I'm like, okay, so like when you see all that we have, and then you see what you have, like, is it ever hard for you? Because she's actually, she's the oldest in her family, and she's the only one working in her family. So she's providing for her parents. Her dad goes fishing, but her mom is taking care of her little siblings. So she's the only one working, the only one providing for her family right now. And she works really hard, but they still don't have much. Like, they don't have much. So I'm like, is that hard for you? And she's like, yeah, it is. And sometimes I'm like crying out to God. I'm like, God, why does it have to be like this? Like, why does it have to be so hard? But then she's always like, but then right after that, I'm like, okay, God, like, you placed me here for a reason, and you have a call here. You have something you want me to do right here where I'm at. And it was just such a good example to me. I'm like, wow, like, she barely has anything, but yet she gives her all to God. And it's evident in the way that she would sing, in the way that she would just live her life. And that's really just seeing her example and seeing Christ in her. It was just so amazing to see Christ in her and being able to follow after that example. And so these are just some, this is actually her little brother, and he really liked me a lot, and he was super cute. The one day they have lots of like these little flowers around, so one day he would run out in the courtyard and bring me a flower, and then he'd run out and bring me all of them, and then he kept running in and out and in and out until he had every single flower from the courtyard in my hand, and I had it in my hair, on my shirt, and everywhere, but he was super cute. And then, okay, there's the wallaby, and then that's Vanau up in the top right corner, and then me and my friend Holly killed some chickens. We were the only ones brave enough to do it. But, and then, okay, so I know I'd heard some comments from this picture. Some people are like, what is going on in this picture? Are you tired or praying or what? I'm actually praying. So this is probably one of the biggest, like, takeaways from outreach. I had so many. It was crazy. Just the God leading me and giving me so much strength. Like, sometimes, so there's days where I'm like, wow, I'm so tired. I don't know if I'm going to make it through today. But I was always able to, and God always gave me strength to go up and speak, go up and do whatever I needed to do. And sometimes it meant going on 4 hours of sleep, but it was always good, and it always went well. So this is actually at the place called The Jetty, and it's going to be a new YWAM base in PNG, and it's going to, YWAM Townsville is helping to get it going, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done on the building, but one night we were down there praying for it, and we had a whole bunch of youths from the community as well. They were, I know some of them will be doing a DTS in this base once it gets finished, but we were just really praying over the place, but then also praying over the people, the youth who would come with us, and really commissioning them into going out and taking this on as their responsibility, helping them to know, like, this isn't just like white people's mission here, but it's actually for them to really come as a place for something that they can put the effort into, and then really they can impact their own nation with it. So it was just a super awesome time of being able to dream with them of this is what, like, dreaming with them on, like, wow, like, we have so much here, like, we have so much to offer, and it was just super cool to see the response we got from them, just how impacted they were, and it was just an amazing time of being able to glimpse God's heart for discipleship and for really wanting everyone to come to knowledge of him, because in that time I realized, like, wow, like, there's going to be hundreds of people from Papua New Guinea coming here to do a DTS, and then they're going to be able to go out and impact people in their villages, and then impacting people in their entire nation. And Papua New Guinea is a very hard place to get to in the center. Like, we didn't have many language barriers where we were at, but I know there was one village where, like, only the pastor spoke English. And then even going deeper, like, there's over 500 languages in Papua New Guinea, or something crazy like that. And it's like, so that everyone has to, it's really hard for a white person to come in, because there's so many language barriers, but when we can send out people, when we can send out their own people, that's when we're really going to be able to, that's when there's really going to be a difference. So it was just really cool along the way. By the time I left PNG, so in the beginning I was like, God, I don't feel called. By the time I left, I was like, God, it's going to rip my heart out to leave this place. And it's definitely very emotional. And it was hard. It was really cool all that God really taught me there, taught our team, and just how he really brought us together, and also just the appreciation he gave me for just really realizing that everyone has something to offer. Like, yes, they don't have much, but like they had so much to offer me, just like the respect I saw in their lives, like in respecting of the elders, of little kids. Like, sometimes a little girl, like, I would be carrying my water bottle and it wasn't very heavy, and she would come up to me and be like, here, I'll take your water bottle for you, and then she would carry it for the rest of the walk, or just the servanthood that they have and just how hard they work. It was just amazing to see how everyone has a little piece to offer, And it doesn't even have to be going to this faraway place. I didn't, like, yes, I was around the world, but, like, I can make a difference right where I'm at. Like, God calls you to all these different places, and, like, some people are called all the way across the world. Some people are called right to where they are in my life. And I guess that was one of my biggest takeaways, was just no matter what, no matter where I am, just really finding what God has for me there and really sharing him with others and helping to disciple others and helping to really draw other people closer to him. I realized over my time, I realized what it actually means to give 100% to God, even if it's hard. Because there were some times where I was like, God, I'm going to surrender my family again. God, I'm going to surrender all my loved ones again. And it was hard. And sometimes I'm like, I don't even know what that looks like. But over my time, I began to understand, like, no matter where you are, God's going to provide someone there for you who's going to really encourage you. And God's going to provide for you emotionally, physically, spiritually, in all the ways. And, like, he is so faithful and he is so good. But I just want to thank you guys again for all of your support and all of your prayers. And I definitely felt the prayers, felt the support. And it was just so special to have a church family like you and allowing me to go on this trip, because I know I couldn't have done it without you, like I said. And I was just so thankful for all the different things, like, that I learned, all the people I met, and all the just the priceless memories that I have. But yeah, thank you guys.
I'll have you stay here just a moment, but, you know, as I hear you speaking, and I know there was a call to go to Australia, to Papua New Guinea, as for just this time, but I think it's also a call to step out for some personal transformation, that for many of us, we get in that comfortable rut of things, and just getting out and allowing God to speak to us is a significant thing. And do you have anything to share with some of the young kids that are here that might be thinking, you know, should I go to something like that? And do you have anything that you'd like to share with them?
Yeah, like me, this is my first time leaving home. It was my first time traveling, first time flying in a plane, first time seeing the ocean, all these crazy things. Like, it was the first time away from the people that I knew really well. But, like, within 3 days of being there, like, God, I had my best friend, like, Gabby and Jessica. I met them the first day I was there. I talked to them and had meaningful conversations, and that built, like, it was just, God always provides someone to be there for you. Like, that's one thing that, like, people are so, like, when you have Christian family and Christian friends, like, they're always going to be there for you, and it's just so meaningful. And also, God has so much for you when you do step out of your comfort zone. And yes, sometimes it's not easy. Like, it can be really hard at times, but when you can really put it on a bigger picture, like, think of a bigger picture and be like, okay, God, like, this is just this long of my time. Like, eternity is forever. Like, this, even just time on earth is so short, but it's always super amazing, and God always comes through, and he will be so faithful.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Thank you.